Begin.
Right? Go. Just go, man. Just hit it. There you go. There you go. Me and Molly and Ben Tolliday. That's all we need. Sorry.
We're doing the show. We're doing the show. Ben, start talking. Okay, just kidding. Hello, everyone. It's me, yes. Molly. You're listening to Make Me Smart Daily. If I sound slightly subdued, it's because it's hollowed out shell Thursday. Making today make sense.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Yep. So standard drill on a Thursday, a slight tinge of despair, a news fix to make me smile, and we are on our way out of your afternoon. How about that? There we go.
Yep.
Boom, done.
A slight tinge of despair. But first of all, I am delighted to see your first link because I saw your tweet on this topic earlier, and I was like, Ben, tell me more.
Yeah. Well, so Garmin, so I'm a runner and a biker. Well, so I'm a runner and a biker, and I wear a Garmin watch, which does GPS, you know, tracks me, blah, 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 and tells me how far and how fast or slow I've run or biked and elevation, all that good stuff. Anyway, so even though I'm no, you know, high-caliber athlete, I really enjoy tracking my statistics. So I get back to my run, I upload from my watch, and I look at my phone, and I'm like, hey, this is great. And then this morning, I got a, we are down, sorry, cannot complete, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, really? And turns out Garmin's been down all day. And the deal is that Garmin, which has, let us be clear about what's going on here, has positional data on me and a gazillion other people from these little gizmos we wear on our wrists, right? Mm-hmm. Has been ransomware attacked, apparently. Not confirmed by the company, but there's some reportage out there. And that's just kind of, right? I mean, you know, it's happened to other GPS companies and Strava and all that jazz, But look, it's here I am, blithely going about my merry way with this watch on my wrist. It's kind of forgetting, and I just think it's a good cautionary tale that, you know, let's pay attention to our privacy here, peeps. That's what I wanted
to
say.
And you totally uncovered this, like, big thing.
It's a huge thing.
I'm going to – I mean, it is a huge thing, turns out. I saw your tweet this morning, and I was like, Garmin? Really? Why are you – okay. Is your, like, hecka old car GPS not working? But now I realize that, yes, of course – positional
well,
data
that's,
on
that's
tons
the
of
other
people.
Thing
yep
the, no, that the was other a, thing is that after I tweeted that, some guy wrote me he tweeted me back and said, I don't know, I'll check with my grandma. And I'm like, come on, I know it's an old watch, but it's not that old.
Anyway. Poor Garmin. They are also, in addition to having like what may be, it seems like, kind of a big huge deal going on, I guess they sent a memo to the Taiwan factories announcing 2 days of maintenance mode planned for Friday and Saturday. Oof. Like they're sort of, they said it was caused by a virus. Like they're trying to be cool about it. But was it Strava? Yep. What was the one that accidentally revealed a bunch of locations of military bases?
It was Strava, right? Because, all these military people were wearing them, right? Like in the green zone in Baghdad and all that stuff. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was Strava.
Yeah.
Kind of wild.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't forget.
You were right.
These little gizmos
you were
have
right.
sat nav. Yes.
I didn't give you all the credit.
Okay. So I've got two today, and I'm just saying, I got two. So I'm going with my second one, just because it's apropos of what we did on Tuesday with Jennifer Pak from China. Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State of the United States of America, gave a speech today at the Nixon Library, historical analog intended, in which he said U.S. engagement with China has failed because the bet has always been, since Nixon went in 1972, look, if we engage the Chinese, they will, of course, see the error of their communist ways and become more like us and join the community of nations and do things according to laws and customs and traditions. And obviously, that hasn't worked out for a whole lot of reasons. And I wanted to mention this because while the Trump administration's policy toward China, at least in the trade and economic sphere, has been disruptive and not necessarily positive for Americans, I think Pompeo makes a good case that we've been banking on this thing for 50 years and we keep beating our heads against the wall. And maybe it's time to rethink the relationship with China just in terms of how we handle them. And I just want to get that on the record.
Well, and that was the promise, right? I mean, that was Trump said, I'm going to come in. I'm going to be tough on China. There were all these China hawks. They were like, it is finally the time to get serious about the intellectual property stuff and all of it. I think the argument that we will probably make in the future when we look back historically is, well, yeah, but the trade war only hurt American consumers. And, you know,
exactly
this administration was real late to the human rights abuses part of this.
Yep. Yep, yeah, for sure. And look, there was standing up to be done. I'm not sure that what the Trump administration has done is the way to do it.
You know? Right, exactly. So, interesting. I have one and a half. They're of a piece. They're basically the same. I saw this headline. I've had this tab open all day waiting for the rundown so I could put it in here, which was that, you know, in all of the talks about what, if anything, is Congress going to do to extend unemployment benefits for all of the people who have lost their jobs. And in fact, today, was it today? This week, there was yet another increase in the number of people applying for unemployment. And in fact, they said while most headlines were citing 1.4 million as the number of newly unemployed, that actually, when you add in all of the people who applied to the pandemic unemployment assistance program, so that includes gig workers and other people who, self-proprietors who weren't eligible for regular old unemployment insurance, the total is actually 2.3 million people for just this past week, meaning that 34 million people, according to the Washington Post, are either on unemployment or, in a lot of cases, still waiting to get approved.
Yeah.
So 34 million people are out of work. Many of them cannot go back to work because it's not safe, or tried to go back to work and it was shut down again because it's not safe, or their jobs no longer exist. And it is in that context that I read you this headline. Mnuchin, Stephen Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, told CNBC that the GOP plan for unemployment extension will be based on 70% wage replacement.
Yeah.
70%. Like, I don't even really understand why you would, like, I don't have a sales background exactly, but I am given to understand that the job of, like, politics, being a boss, I mean, you know, not by training. I got some hustle, but I wasn't trained. I'm self-taught.
That's right.
I am given to understand that the job of politicians and executives and many other people in our economy is actually some version of sales. And if someone came to me and was like, I know you're out of work. I know you can't get a new job because there aren't any to be had. I know it is likely that your job is either gone or not coming back because it's not safe. Here's 70% of what you used to be making, which for a lot of people, like, might be enough for rent, but not rent and food. That would be a hard sell. And yet, apparently, this is where we are.
Yeah. And we are here within spitting distance, like 5 days of the last checks going out. And yet we are just now having the White House and Senate Republicans agree with each other. And let's remember they're supposed to be on the same side about what the plan is going to be, let alone talking to House Democrats who, remember, passed their $3.5 trillion package. So these two parties are $2.5 trillion apart. Dems passed theirs back in May. So as we talked about yesterday on What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, Senate Republicans left this till the very last minute. Now, did they leave it till the last minute because they were thinking everything would be fine by now? Maybe, but it's not. And here we are.
And even to assume that everything would be fine by now is to assume that math is not real. And I would say the history of the universe argues that it is. If there is one damn thing you can count on, it's that math is real. The other crazy thing that I found out recently via one of our producers, whose father is soon going to be in this position, is that once unemployment does run out, even if new unemployment benefits are approved, everyone will have to go through the application process again.
Oh, man.
This is a story you guys should do. I like how I say that, like we don't all work in the same place. I would love to listen to this on your show on my smart speaker while I'm making dinner, which is when I listen to the show every night. So I'm talking about that process that like crashed all those computers at various states and involved like mainframe systems that are written in COBOL, that system, the COBOL, one that people are still waiting for checks from. They will have to go through that process all over again to, we hope, get 70% wage replacement in an economy where the jobs for those 34 million people likely don't exist. Like, I don't get it as a sales pitch. I really don't.
Nope.
Maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah, as crazy as this is to say, because we're a week out from the last checks going out, I think we're still in, not I think, we are still in early stages of negotiations on this thing, right? I mean, the Republicans just agreed amongst themselves. So we're not, there ain't no brass tacks being had here yet.
Yeah, it's probably not done. But that's still the offer.
Yeah. Right.
The issue on the table. Yeah.
Oh, don't.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
Little cabinet rap battle. Come on, that was all right. That was all right. I'm down.
It's so good. You must be out of your. Okay, I'm done. I'm definitely done now. Ben, make a smile goodness. Before I say a bad word.
Yes. So, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez took to the floor of the United States House today, and I'm quoting from a Bloomberg opinion piece analysis or commentary on what she said, and it was in response to Republican Congressman Ted Yoho calling her an F blah 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 b. Okay, rhymes with H.
We call it an effing B. Okay. In my house.
Effing B. Okay, there we go. Better for you. Okay, so Ted Yoho said this about her, apparently not directly at her, not that that makes a difference, but whatever. He took to the House floor yesterday and gave a non-apology apology. And she, and I commend this to your attention, we will have the video on our show notes page. She, in not just a couple of minutes, gave, and this is what Bloomberg said, a young congresswoman from New York delivered one of the most thorough thrashings the Capitol has seen since Representative Preston Brooks brutally caned Senator Charles Sumner on the Senate floor in 1856. She not only did she take him down, but she made a statement about, about a lot of stuff. I'm not going to characterize it. You listen, tell me what you think, hit us on Twitter, send us a note, whatever, because it was kind of amazing. And it's a statement about our times, I think, for reals.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually unrelated to this link being in the rundown. I finished watching it with about a minute and a half to spare before we started recording today.
Oh, yeah.
So it is pretty fresh in my mind. And yes, indeed. Yeah. I mean, she speaks for us ladies, let me tell you, because every one of us, not a woman I know will not tell you that a man has not walked away from us more than one time in our lives saying effing B because he didn't like what we said, or to our faces in all of the, I mean, she talks about throwing people out of bars for calling her that, for having it happen on the subway, on the street. Cannot tell you how many times that has absolutely happened. And it is like her response to it is just absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And everybody involved should be ashamed.
It's a little bit like, if you remember Katie Hill, the California representative who resigned after her former husband released some private pictures and it just got really messy, she gave a speech on the floor, her farewell speech, in which she, in essence, did a version of the same thing. And it was extraordinary. So check this out. It'll be on the show notes page. That's my thing.
Yep. Yeah. That's a really good one. And also, mine is a really good one. It was just a really good, tiny moment of progress, which is that the Fairfax County School Board in Fairfax, Virginia, has voted to rename Springfield's Robert E. Lee High School after the late U.S. Congressman John R. Lewis.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much it. Went ahead and just said, no, thank you. No, thank you. Yep. Right on.
It's not hard. Just do the right thing. Okay. Here we go.
Look at that. We're a little borderline smiley. That is it for us. Just a little tiny bit filled up.
Uplifting and positive, yeah.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. We will be live on the YouTube for Economics on Tap. Pour yourselves a drink because, like so many weeks, it's the week for it. 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 Eastern to catch the live stream. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Sam Anderson. I better hurry up. Our digital producer is Tony Wagner. Ben Heathcote produces video with the help of our intern, Ethan Peretz. And thanks to writer-producer, I'm not trying to stress you guys out, Erica Phillips.
Ben Tolliday engineered today. Our theme music was composed by Ben and Daniel Ramirez, the executive director of On Demand, senior producer of Pod these couple of weeks, Isitar Nieves. The senior vice president and general manager for the nonce is Deborah Clark. I'm going to get somebody to ask me. I'm going to.
It's going to happen.